With the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Filling in for Danielle Leal, here's today's host, Brian German.
Good morning and thanks for joining us again today. I'm your host, Brian German with AgNet West, and you're listening to Farm City Newsday. It's been nice to be out on the road again, seeing everybody at this year's CAPCA conference in Reno and hearing some of the latest information about pest control in California. And we've got a lot to get through in today's show, so let's get right into it with today's top story. The ag industry may be better served by engaging more politically. President and CEO of California Citrus Mutual, Casey Kramer, explains where ag fits in overall political spending.
Agriculture and forestry, you know, on a 2020 level in legislative spending, you know, altogether we were 14th in California of all the major industries. And, you know, energy sector, realtors, teachers, prison guards. I think I would suspect that you'll see, if you look back the last 10, 20 years, those sectors were far down on the list. They were probably getting impacted in certain ways and made strategic investments to say, we've got to do better. And so they've moved up the ladder in political spending, while, frankly, agriculture has stayed pretty stagnant. And so, you know, it's if you're frustrated about what's happening and you see, and it's tough to get the attention of the legislature and the regulators, well, this is one measure of where we fit in the chain in the eyes of the legislature, even though California agriculture is still one of the dominant industries here. So our political activity doesn't match our economic activity. And I think the results of policies show, you know, why that's happening.
And in other news, Pyganic is proving to be a valuable tool for organic citrus growers. Extension specialist at UC Riverside, Monique Rivera, described the efficacy and concerns about using Pyganic.
So Pyganic EC 5.0 plus New Film P, which is an organic certified spreader, and then Azadirect, that combination, we have consistently found good results against Asian citrus psyllid. However, this being the most efficacious product creates a huge issue because you really need to focus on resistance management. So just like pyrethroids, Pyganic is the natural form of a pyrethroid called a pyrethrin. And so those mechanisms of resistance will be similar. And the overuse of that product could create an even more detrimental effect if the most efficacious product was to have resistance in the insect population where you're trying to basically control the insect. So it's really critical in a lot of ways to figure out other ways to approach treating for this pest. And what we discovered through our trials is that we really need something that's good against ACP eggs. And additionally, trying to figure out the timing of sprays, because while Pyganic is effective, if you have overlapping generations of Asian citrus psyllid, it won't take care of the eggs. So you're basically going to have a consistent issue as those eggs hatch into nymphs, and then your problem sort of continues on from ACP generation to generation.
And according to USDA, food prices in grocery stores are projected to increase at least 2% next year and an additional 2% the year after. With prices for conventional produce increasing, the organic sector may be facing some challenges moving forward. There are some concerns that those increasing prices could negatively impact the steady growth that organic sales have been experiencing in recent years. In a news post from the Organic Produce Network, several questions are raised as to how food price inflation might impact the demand for organic products. Retailer and consumer dynamics will be something to watch closely if price inflation continues at the projected rate. Retailers addressing rising expenses due to COVID-19 and raising wages to attract workers, higher prices might be the ensuing result. As prices rise, consumers become more particular about their food purchases, which could ultimately impede sales of organic products. USDA has also announced that the Fruit and Vegetable Industry Advisory Committee will be holding a virtual meeting on November 3rd and 4th. USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service is tasked with organizing the meeting, which will begin at 7 a.m. each day and will be open to the public. Details about the meeting and how to provide comments on the issues that are impacting the fruit and vegetable industry was published in a Federal Register notice released earlier in the month. Registration for the virtual meeting is required, and after signing up, a confirmation email will be sent with information about how to join the webinar. The deadline to submit written comments, sign up for oral arguments, or request special accommodations is Friday, October 22nd. The Fruit and Vegetable Industry Advisory Committee was established in 2001 as a means for providing a forum to exchange ideas for improving programs to better address industry challenges. A link to register for the virtual meeting can be found at agnetwest.com. And finally, researchers from Cornell University have developed a digital model to help mitigate outbreaks of foodborne illnesses. Using a digital model with data mimicking two fresh-cut produce facilities, the researchers were able to identify the optimal times and locations to find any potential contaminating bacteria. The research team recently published its findings in the Journal of Applied and Environmental Microbiology. Associate professor at the College of Veterinary Medicine and senior author of the paper, Renata Ibanek, told the Cornell Chronicle that the findings are an important step for improving safety measures for food producers. The next step in the research is to develop similar models that can help identify contamination risks in produce packing houses as well as grocery stores. The study was part of a comprehensive project involving a variety of institutions to help develop digital support tools for all areas of the food supply chain to help improve overall food safety. And we'll be back in just a moment with more agriculture news here on Farm City Newsday. I'm your host, Brian German, with AgNet West Radio Network.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Are you doing anything to wake it up? Phycoterra Soil Microbe Food activates the native microbes that are responsible for your soil's health and crop productivity. Adding Phycoterra to your cropping system increases soil microbial activity by up to 33 times and is proven to increase crop yield and ROI. Plus, its excellent mixability and application flexibility allow you to add it to your existing crop input strategy with a free ride to the field. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
Wild Eye hopes all their many customers out there are having or had a successful harvest. The folks from Wild Eye are diligently working on their 4G swap and upgrade campaign to keep your systems working. Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack, Undersecretary for Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services Stacy Dean, and USDA Food and Nutrition Service Administrator Cindy Long hosted a listening session on school meals. The session took place with 19 school food industry executives to discuss their critical role in strengthening access to nutritious foods for school meals programs, both now and into the future. Vilsack says, quote, USDA school meal programs have a wide-reaching impact on the health and well-being of our nation's children. Now more than ever, America's children need access to healthy and nutritious foods, and our industry partners play a huge role in making that happen, unquote. The meeting took place as the department, schools, and other partners across the country celebrated National School Lunch Week from October 11th through the 15th. The week is set aside as an opportunity to celebrate the high-quality, delicious, and nutritious lunches children get at their schools. COVID-19 and the resulting economic challenges have highlighted the essential role that school meals play in addressing childhood hunger, as well as the tireless dedication and creativity of school food professionals in making sure that children are well-fed, no matter the situation. The Fertilizer Institute looked to the future in announcing an industry-wide commitment to commit 70 million acres under 4R Nutrient Stewardship Management by 2030. Acres managed under the 4R concept incorporate practices that use the right fertilizer source at the right rate, at the right time, and in the right place. When the 4Rs are put into practice, growers can achieve higher yields, lower input costs, and fewer nutrient losses to the environment. Corey Rosenbusch, TFI President and CEO, says, quote, "The sustainable use of fertilizer is not only a priority for the fertilizer industry, but millions of farmers across the nation. A key goal for the industry is a commitment to a healthy environment, and setting this goal to improve nutrient stewardship is an important step in meeting that goal," unquote. A 4R acre is defined as an acre of U.S. cropland under management using 4R practices, such as organic sources and removal rates, variable technology, split applications, the use of cover crops, accounting for the weather during the application, and several others. Fertilizer is a key component of sustainable crop production systems, and the fertilizer industry recognizes the need to use these nutrients efficiently. Practices based on the right source, rate, time, and placement of fertilizer application can lead to improved on-farm profitability, improved water quality, and reduced loss of greenhouse gas. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day from AgNet West. I'm your host, Brian German. And now with today's livestock report, here's AgNet West's Randall Wiseman.
Well, in today's livestock news, last week a Michigan dairy farmer stressed the job-creating and farm-supporting benefits of generating greater dairy market access opportunities during a virtual town hall that was organized by Farmers for Free Trade, or FFT. The National Milk Producers Federation and the U.S. Dairy Export Council are members of FFT, and they play an active role in helping the organization carry out its mission of informing the public about the benefits of free trade and supporting the pursuit of beneficial trade agreements that expand export opportunities for American farmers. During that event, Doug Chapin, a dairy producer and chairman of the Michigan Milk Producers Association, highlighted the importance of exports for his family's farm and the thousands of workers throughout the dairy supply chain. To support those American jobs, he urged a more aggressive pursuit of trade policies that can expand market access for U.S. dairy exports by removing tariff and non-tariff barriers that make it harder to compete around the world. In his remarks, Chapin said that American exporters are facing an increasingly uneven playing field as the European Union and New Zealand continue to ink new trade deals with key markets while the U.S. falls behind.
Aside from the USMCA update to NAFTA, the last genuinely new free trade agreement we had enacted took effect nearly a decade ago, with negotiations that happened much earlier. We seem to be either evaluating or at times negotiating deals, but not implementing new comprehensive trade agreements that eliminate tariffs on our exports. Just as I have continued in the family business, I would love to have the opportunity to pass the operation along to my children. However, for continued growth and prosperity and for future generations to continue milking, we need new markets that come with new trade agreements.
Again, that was dairy farmer Doug Chapin. In a release, NMPF President and CEO Jim Mulhern said, "We appreciate the opportunity this Farmers for Free Trade Town Hall has provided to highlight the need for expanded market access for American-made dairy products, and we thank Doug for his willing to share how Washington does impact dairy farmers throughout the country." Mulhern said, "We believe greater access to other key dairy markets where the U.S. is facing the challenge of competing at a disadvantage, particularly in Asia, will mean continued opportunity and growth for America's dairy farms." USDEC President and CEO Krista Harden said the U.S. Dairy Export Council supports Doug's comments on the need for the administration to pursue new trade agreements that benefit dairy producers and processors not only in Michigan but elsewhere across the country. Harden said U.S. dairy exporters are able to compete on quality and price anywhere in the world as long as there is a level playing field. Unfortunately, that playing field continues to tilt in our competitors' favor as the tariff gap between the U.S. and our trade competitors only widens. She said, "We urge the administration to take more aggressive steps to grow agricultural market access opportunities." I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Brian German. We'll be right back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Are you doing anything to wake it up? Phycoterra Soil Microbe Food activates the native microbes that are responsible for your soil's health and crop productivity. Adding Phycoterra to your cropping system increases soil microbial activity by up to 33 times and is proven to increase crop yield and ROI. Plus, its excellent mixability and application flexibility allow you to add it to your existing crop input strategy with a free ride to the field. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
Wild Eye hopes all their many customers out there are having or had a successful harvest. The folks from Wild Eye are diligently working on their 4G swap and upgrade campaign to keep your systems working. Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Brian German. In today's interview portion of the show, we've taken a segment from the latest episode of Voices of the Valley. This week's guest is Josette Lewis of the Almond Board of California.
Welcome to Voices of the Valley, a series interviewing growers, entrepreneurs, educators, and technologists who are inventing new solutions for today's and tomorrow's challenges on the farm. Brought to you today by the Western Growers Association, supporting growers that grow the best medicine in the world. Find out more at WGA.com. Now here's your Voices of the Valley host, Director of Western Growers Center for Innovation and Technology, Dennis Donahue.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Valley. And I'm joined by my good friend, Candace Wilson. Candace, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Good to see you again. And we have a terrific guest this morning, Josette Lewis, who's the Chief Scientific Officer of the Almond Board of California. I think I got that right. And we want to talk to Josette because the Almond Board has always got a lot of things going on, but I'm sure she knows that this is also National Honey Month. And, you know, pollination's a big part of the almond world. So we thought it was also timely to visit with you in the month of September as well. And so, Josette, good morning and great to see you.
Thanks, Dennis. It's great to be here. And I have to admit, when I took this job with the Almond Board, I never realized how much I would learn about and spend time with beekeepers as part of my job. So great to be here during National Honey Month.
Well, and let's start right there with your job. Talk to folks about what you do. You know, the Almond Board is obviously a well-respected, well-regarded, and very active and busy group. You've got a lot going on. So if you're if you've got the reins on the chief science role, you must be busy. So talk about what you do.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, and to put it in short, I lead the research program for the almond industry, and that spans production research, so growing of almonds, but also a few things that go well beyond that. So we have initiated a program to look at adding value to almond co-products or biomass that comes out of almond production. The kernel that we eat is only about a third of the biomass that comes out of an almond orchard every year. We have hulls, which is a kind of fleshy outer coating, kind of like the part of the peach that we eat, a little drier in almonds, but still pretty sweet. And then the shells as well. And then there's some woody biomass. Sometimes early in an orchard, there's prunings. And then at the end of the life of an orchard, you have a lot of woody biomass. So we're also looking at ways to add value to that, both as a zero waste strategy and as a way to add value to the industry. And then we also have a very important nutrition research program that is critical to achieving our vision of making life better by what we grow and how we grow. That's our vision for the almond industry. So part of making life better is producing a really nutritious as well as delicious product. And then obviously the how we grow gets into the production research. So everything production, biomass, nutrition falls in the scope of what we do. And I'm very fortunate to work with a great team of people trained in a diversity of sciences to help oversee our research program. And that's my job. It's an exciting job to have.
Well, and we've talked a little bit about, you know, that California almond production exceeds 1 million acres, yet on a by comparison basis, when we hang out with the Midwest, you know, it's not as big on a scale basis, but from a global production standpoint, California rules the roost, doesn't it?
Indeed, we do. We grow almost 80% of the world's almonds. And that's really a reflection of the unique environment that we have as a Mediterranean climate here in California. Almonds really only grow in Mediterranean climates, so hot, dry summers and cold, wet winters. And there's only a limited number of those around the world. And the Central Valley of California is by far and above the largest Mediterranean climate. So it is uniquely well suited to grow this crop. It's part of why we are the number one crop acreage now in California, is that it's a relatively high value crop for many growers. It also means California has some limited competition in the world. So we're not competing with every country. We're not competing with China, because we have a unique opportunity to grow almonds here that, you know, Australia has a little bit of Mediterranean climate, obviously Spain, a little bit in Portugal, and then very, very small amounts in places like Italy and the Middle East. But we really do have a comparative advantage from a marketing perspective here in California because of our unique climate.
Josette, while California does have that unique climate, we also know there are many struggles in California right now. If you are in agriculture, it's not easy to be a grower. Can you talk a little bit about what are the main priorities that the board is working on right now?
Well, let me start with sort of the production side of things. You know, we try to look at the role of research and innovation as a continuum that helps our industry stay profitable and productive today, as well as thrive and even really transform into the future. So we try to take a short, medium, and long-term view on the role of research and innovation. So I'd say today, there's obviously some major pain points around water. I think everyone who works in agriculture in California feels that pain. Pest management continues to be a challenge. Millions of people around the world enjoy eating almonds, and so do lots of pests and diseases enjoy almonds. So we're in constant battle to produce a healthy and delicious crop without too much damage to it or the trees that produce it. So those are two really big ones. You know, I think increasingly as we look at the future of agriculture, we're also really trying to harness the ecology and biology of the system. Some folks would say this is a little bit returning to farming in the past, but it's also really taking advantage of modern science to help us understand, for example, how to manage our soils so that we can take advantage of the organic matter in our soils, taking advantage of good microorganisms that exist in the soil that help combat disease and help cycle nutrients more efficiently. Lots of people hear a lot about the gut microbiome and the importance that plays in human health. In many ways, you can kind of think of the soil that way for agriculture. And we also really increasingly look at the how we grow as integral to how we market almonds. You know, we all know that consumers are thinking more about where their food comes from and how it was produced. Obviously, a pain point if you're in agriculture here in California is that we have a very high regulatory system for many, particularly environmental, as well as concerns of ag labor and health of communities around agriculture. So we have to farm to a very high standard, and that can be hard and it can be more expensive at times. But increasingly, that's also part of our advantage in marketing the quality of California agriculture and the quality of what we produce. It's really produced to those high standards. And so we start thinking about things like how much carbon we can sequester in an almond orchard, how much habitat we can provide to biodiversity. So those are some of the things that we think about as sometimes being able to solve a pain point, but also to ensure that we have really high value markets and continue to grow the market around the world for almonds.
Again, this was just a portion of the conversation, and you can listen to the entire episode by searching Voices of the Valley wherever you get your podcasts. You are listening to Farm City Newsday from AgNet West. We'll be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Are you doing anything to wake it up? Phycoterra Soil Microbe Food activates the native microbes that are responsible for your soil's health and crop productivity. Adding Phycoterra to your cropping system increases soil microbial activity by up to 33 times and is proven to increase crop yield and ROI. Plus, its excellent mixability and application flexibility allow you to add it to your existing crop input strategy with a free ride to the field. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
Wild Eye hopes all their many customers out there are having or had a successful harvest. The folks from Wild Eye are diligently working on their 4G swap and upgrade campaign to keep your systems working. Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service will be collecting additional information on agricultural products marketed as local foods during 2020. Earlier this year, NAS collected detailed data on 2020 local food marketing practices. This information came from farmers and ranchers who had previously reported local food marketing activity on prior surveys and a census. In light of the extreme dynamics brought on by COVID-19 and reliance on previous indicators of local food marketing based on the 2017 Census of Agriculture, contacting additional producers to get the complete picture of local food marketing practices is now a necessary step. As a result of the current conditions, NAS will collect information from producers who have not indicated prior local food marketing. The data release, originally scheduled for November 18, will now be delayed until the new information and the data collected earlier this year are combined. The 2020 Local Food Marketing Practices Survey report likely won't get released until early 2022. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Brian German. While at the CAPCA conference this week in Reno, we heard updates about some of the latest materials available to growers. Regional Sales Manager in the Pacific Northwest for Brandt, Dan Pinther, provided us with some insight on their enzyme technology to help with growth and early root development.
We're here at this year's CAPCA conference, and you're talking about something that's fairly new that you're pretty excited about that's available for growers called EndsUp. So talk to me a little bit about, number one, what this is and maybe some of the results that you're seeing and experiences with growers that you're having.
Yes, it's our EndsUp product, and we're using that as a pre-plant. It goes into their liquid fertilizer program, and it works for all crops. And it's showing us tremendous yield results, and what we're doing is getting that seed off to a quicker start. Root development is improved, so that's helping the yields.
And tell me a little bit more. There's a couple different versions of this, I understand, that you know, you might be able to kind of fine-tune or maybe look at it for what you might need for your operation.
Yes, that very good. We have EndsUp zinc and we have EndsUp manganese. That's the two main ones. So we're trying to increase the zinc flow if they need zinc or the manganese. So we can pick up either one or both for shortages to help that seed get off to a better start.
And this is all about, like you said, getting off to a better start. So growers that are looking to plant, they're going to figure out what they might need in their particular operation, and then you guys can kind of help them figure out which option is going to be the best with this.
Yes, we look at what their program is and what their needs are. So from soil samples, we can tell what they need, and then we will fine-tune that to fit their program.
And now this is fairly new, I understand. This hasn't been around too much. How long has this been at least available for growers out here in California?
Well, we've had it in trials for probably 5 years, but it's been on the market for the last about 2 years.
And now it's been out there maybe a couple years now, so if people want some more information or they might want to try it out, what's going to be their best bet or their best option to get their hands on this?
One of the easiest ways is to go to our Brandt website, brandt.co, and they can go to our product finder, type in EndsUp or even the first few letters of it, and it will pick up the product. And most all major fertilizer dealers have this product available.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com.
Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at Agnet West. And our team of Brian German at Brian German Agnet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal Agnet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.